under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see, don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour on this Flag Day Friday, June 14th, 2024 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us on the line every Friday, he does this. Now we're on, I forget how long, 9 years. I forget how long we've been doing this.
Ten. In our 11th year.
Oh, man. We're getting old in the tooth there, Rusty. You've got an interesting one for today on Flag Day. Key turning points in American military history. Let's dive right into this.
Every time I do this, I say, well, maybe I should have rearranged this, that, and the other, but here we go. Okay, you got five battles. One's not even a battle. It's just a turning of thinking, and it changed us. Number five I've got, we'll go up to number one, the Battle of Trenton. During the American Revolution, after we drove the British from Boston, we didn't have much success in during the Revolutionary War. We were driven out of New York. We lost the Battle of Brooklyn Heights, and Washington was chased south and west across the Delaware, and it was a very in the beginning of the winter of 1776, a very low spot in American history. And we didn't know that we were going to survive at that point. We men's enlistments were running out, and we had to do something. And so George Washington made the decision he was going to cross the Delaware on Christmas Day, 1776, and surprise the British. Actually, it was the Hessians, who were mercenaries hired by the British, and capture Trenton. We crossed the Delaware. We surprised them and captured Trenton. And strategically, normally, here's the deal. Normally, during the Revolutionary War, people would say that Saratoga was the turning point of the war, and I've taught it like that for years. However, without a Trenton, I don't think we'd have made it to Saratoga. If we had to have a victory. And while this was not as pivotal in one sense as Saratoga, but it kept men in the battle. There was a British observer said this after the Battle of Trenton. A few days ago, they had given up the cause for lost. Now they're liberty mad again. I mean, it was a very low time. So when we took them, it just inspired everybody. Then we went up a little ways north and captured Princeton. And we didn't have victory after victory after victory during the Revolutionary War. And then in October of that year, is we have the big Battle of Saratoga, of 1777. And that's what basically convinced the French that we could potentially win this war, and they joined and helped us. And that was a huge thing, too. But so I'm going back to Trenton. Changed the dynamics of the war, kept our morale high enough that we continue to fight. The crossing of the Delaware on that Christmas night, a big deal. Boy, there's a lot of details, and I've talked about the details before, but
sure.
That was a big turning point.
And that was Christmas night on 1776, correct?
Correct. And about a week later, we went up and took Princeton, and then later in the year, we won the Battle of Saratoga, brought the French into the war. And after after Saratoga, the British gave up their even any idea of the original idea was they were going to split the United States. They were going to take New England, take New York, but it didn't work. So big deal, the Battle of Trenton, great victory.
Excellent spot for a short break. Word from our sponsors, we'll be right back. Chuck or Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. Patriotsrelief.com.
Hey Patriots, Veteran John here in Sheboygan. Taste the purest artesian water on God's green earth. MAGA water. PFAS-free, mineral-rich, naturally alkaline, 8.3 pH, veteran-owned. Go to MAGAwater.com or call 231-818-9700. That's MAGAwater.com or call 231-818-9700. Call us today to taste the pure difference.
Free spring inspection for your vehicle. Bring your vehicle to Royal Tire at 402 West Mitchell and Petoskey. Get a free inspection of your wiper blades, tires and wheels, a battery test, brake pads and rotors. Call to schedule an appointment at 231-347-1001. Make sure your vehicle is ready for summer. It's coming. Again, call Royal Tire at 231-347-1001.
I am Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, running for U.S. Senate. As a missionary physician who's traveled the world, I've seen refugee crisis. Our open borders are causing a national refugee crisis. The failed Biden administration is paying illegal immigrants to enter our country and bring disease, terrorism, trafficking, inflation, and crime. As your next U.S. Senator, I have the international experience to close our borders and secure our homeland. I'm Dr. Sherry O'Donnell and am prepared to close the floodgates. Paid for by Dr. Sherry for Senate.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. And before you continue on, Pastor Chatfield, just heard the commercial for Ian Murphy over at the Iron Pig Smokehouse there in downtown Gaylord. He is actually going to be a sponsor of our fifth annual Fun Shoot Pig Roast and U.S. Senate Shoot-Off this year. And I'd like to invite you and Betty to come as my guest. Maybe you could give a little talk about the Second Amendment, the history of it, why the Founding Fathers made it the Second Amendment, because it's going to be a great event Saturday. Mark your calendar, July 27th in Central Lake. It's going to be on Muckle Road at Richard Davis's Compound Pavilion. And Ian Murphy of the Iron Pig is going to provide the pork, the pulled pork, baked beans, potato salad, coleslaw, and Grandma Bishop's world-famous carrot cake. Her recipe lives on in me, and I'm the baker, and I'm baking the carrot cake. So love for you guys, you and Betty, to be our guests at that event.
Okay, maybe we'll try to do that. It sounds fun.
Yeah, we're going to have a blast. Bring your deer rifle. We'll sight in your deer rifle and bring in your Dirty Harry, your long barrel 357 Magnum that you own, and the double barrel shotgun that you have loaded by the door there per Joe Biden's, home protection security program. And we're going to have a great day. Have you ever shot a 50 caliber sniper rifle?
No. 50 caliber? No. That's a 50 pretty big gun.
Well, we have a 50 cal single, a bolt action shot. It'll cost you a $5 bill, and you'll be shooting 400 yards over a house at a target up on the hill. So we want you to think about maybe squeezing that bad boy one time. If you've never felt a 50 caliber long barrel, you need to shoot it. It's a fantastic firearm. Let's get into this history lesson, because after Trenton, basically, you're saying changing the direction of the Revolutionary War. What was the most next important one in military history?
Now, here's what I got. And I should be higher on the list, but I've got D-Day, June 6, 1944. Because this, D-Day, was it a turning point? Well, it's not exactly a turning point. The tide of the war had definitely turned toward the Allies in 1944. I mean, the Russians were pushing the Germans back in all points on the east. And the fact is that it was Stalin that was pushing. Stalin was really pushing D-Day, because he wanted to relieve the pressure on his troops. He wanted the Germans to have to concentrate more troops on the west. And so that was a big deal. Churchill was not as excited about D-Day. He thought originally we could go up through Italy, the soft underbelly of the Axis. That didn't work. So anyway, we did. We won D-Day. And there was, what happened on Omaha Beach. And we spent so much time talking about D-Day. There was turning points right in that battle, especially the middle of at Normandy, when we were landing on the beaches and the heroes that went up there. And if we wouldn't have won it at Omaha, who knows what history would have happened at Omaha Beach. The other beaches went pretty well, but it was a big deal, very important. But I can't see us losing that war, the World War II, by that point. So it's hard for me to say D-Day was a turning point exactly, although maybe it was. It was the largest amphibious invasion in the history of the world. Nothing ever has ever approached that. And so there you go. Number four is D-Day, June 6, 1944. Okay. Now here's a – this is not a battle, but this is a change in thinking. Number three, December 7, 1941 was, of course, Pearl Harbor. And we immediately – the next day we declared war. We rearmed ourselves. And there were people like Truman, FDR – and others, mostly Democrats, they were saying, we told you so. We told you so. And even the America First crowd, Charles Lindbergh was very popular, and he was one of the main leaders of the America First crowd, said, we have to rearm. Now, after World War II, even though there's America First people still in mostly Republicans, but it was different. America First didn't mean now to disarm. We understood this. And every president, Republican, Democrat, every president knows that the ocean does not completely protect us. So while people today, like we would say, former President Donald Trump is an America first guy, he's not an America let's disarm and not be prepared guy. Between World War One and World War Two, we disarmed. And that, we've never changed. Nobody now has ever gone back to saying, no, we need to disarm. As a matter of fact, it's Republicans are a little bit more pro, let's be ready. Let's beef up the military than the Democrats are. And that's more of a Republican issue. In other words, Republicans are more hawkish. It doesn't mean that we want to intervene and we're internationalist, but it does mean we need to be prepared. And I think it's fair to say, I think it's legitimate to say between World War One and World War Two, the Republicans were the ones that were saying, hey, let Europe solve their own problems. We're not going to engage. We're not going to engage yet. That's their problem. Now, we don't know exactly what to make of things. I still don't know what to make exactly. What is the right course of action in the war between Russia and the Ukraine?
Right.
As
I'm sitting here listening, you know, and I'm picturing these battles and these dates in history, what you mentioned just now about Donald Trump, I think, you know, Ronald Reagan had it right, you know, peace through strength.
Right.
You know, and because, you know, here's the thing, you know, in our younger days, I don't know about you, but there was times that I admit I sinned and I was in a bar and I was drinking with some friends and we were having a good time. And all of a sudden, you know, people would walk in and it was not a good aura. You just knew, you just sensed that, uh-oh, you know, there's some trouble coming in here, biker club, whoever it was, you know, and you never in your mind thought, okay, if things break out here, you know, I'm going to go over and take on that big guy. You know, the guy that's like 300 pounds, 6'6", looks like he can pick up his Harley with one arm. Yeah, that's not the guy I'm going to target. I'm going to target this guy. And the reason you don't mess with the big guy is because through his strength, there's going to be peace between him and I. We're not going to be fighting, but... Military component of that is exactly what Reagan did. General Schwarzkopf, you know, shock and awe. Donald Trump. We had no wars, foreign wars, under his 4 years of being a president because he said, listen, I'm not afraid. I've got a great military. I got a big red. Remember, what was it he said to North Korea guy, the little rocket man? You might have some rockets, but I got a big red button on my desk. And it never happened. Isn't this exactly what you're talking about?
Yes, and we've never completely turned away from that. Now, I will say this. President Biden, our military, President Biden's allowed our military to become, in my view, too weak. Too weak. Now, you say, well, you just want war. Of course I don't want war. We want peace through strength. And all the presidents believe that to some measure. Now Ronald Reagan really built the military up. Of course he did. And we need a strong military. So America first does not mean America unprepared. And I think it is fair to say between World War One and World War Two, the Republicans, the America First crowd were not for total disarmament, but really quite a bit. You know, after the Cold War, if you remember this, during all the years of the Cold War, our military was up to about 3 million. Now we're at a million and a half. We're half of what we used to be. And not a lot of that came from Bill Clinton's called the peace dividend. He was able to balance the budget on that. Maybe it's true we didn't need as – once the Soviet Union collapsed, maybe we didn't need as many men in the military. I don't know. But – it is true. We've allowed our military become too weak, and none of us want war, but we have to be strong enough to avoid war. And that's what George Washington said in his farewell address. Expenditures now will save us a lot of expenditures later in the event of a war, because if a war breaks out and we have to rush to rearm, that becomes very expensive. And I know you've heard about the four warships, the Russian warships that are in there in Havana Harbor there in Cuba. I can't find that hard to imagine that would have happened during the Reagan years. It seems to me it would not have happened.
Not during Reagan, and I don't think it would happen during Donald Trump's presidency. And I got to tell you, again, we've got the situation with Putin, with Ukraine, China. Did you hear about the ramp up they're doing regarding Taiwan?
Yes.
We've got all these fronts going. Now he's going to go back and kind of do a repeat of the Cuban Missile Crisis. I mean, talk about that history real quick.
Well, 1962, we discovered that there were missile silos that the Soviets were building in Cuba. And they initially denied it, but we put a blockade around Cuba and says, nothing's coming in and out till you dismantle these missile silos. And we were on high alert. And eventually the Soviet Union blinked. They dismantled them. And so, which was good. You got to be strong, though. You have to be strong. And so, from Truman, and it continued with Eisenhower and all the presidents. No, we are going to be strong. We are going to be very strong. Being America first doesn't mean you're weak, though. You see the difference of thinking here.
Sure.
We're America first, but we're America strong, and we're going to protect ourselves. And we have to be. We have to be true to our word, and we have to, fulfill our treaty obligations. We're still a part of NATO. We got to let people like countries like Poland know, if you're invaded, we're with you. We have to do that. Now, here's what Russia says, by the way. Russia says, look, you don't like us in Cuba? We don't like you in Poland. That's the Russian thinking. It bothers you that we're so close to your borders? Well, you're close to our border in Poland.
Right. Exactly.
So you think
strategically that is what Putin's reasoning or justification is for what he's doing in Cuba right now?
I don't know what his thinking is. Maybe.
No, I'm just because of all the things happening, and I know he does not want us supporting Ukraine. So it's like, okay, you want to mess with us in our neighborhood, we're going to come mess with you in your neighborhood.
Yes, I think so. I think so. By the way, I was watching Fox News this morning, and they've been very critical, everybody on Fox, of how little, in their view, we've helped Ukraine. And I'm saying, well, this is a pretty difficult situation here for President Biden. I'm not a President Biden fan, but nevertheless, this is – what do you want him to do? What do you want –
right.
I mean,
how much more do they expect us to do?
Yes, I don't know. I mean, what do you want us to do? Let's put it this way. Since Nagasaki, when we dropped a second atomic bomb, we've not had any nuclear exchange.
Nope.
The Truman Doctrine, the Cold War, what happened in Korea, happened in Vietnam. You know, at least we haven't had World War III yet. So to some measure, we have to say that our foreign policy has worked to some measure. Have we had World War III? These are difficult things to figure out.
Absolutely. We're going to keep it right there. Hold it through the break. I'm Trucker Randy Bishop. He's Pastor Rusty Chatfield. We're your defending fathers. Bottom of the Hour News. We'll be right back.